This week's Nashville's best deal is Brewster's Real Ice Cream in Hendersonville. Brewster's offers handcrafted cakes, pies, and ice cream flavors such as peppermint Oreo, eggnog, and gingerbread man. Enjoy the magic of homemade happiness this season. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals now and get half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Mitch Light, college football editor of The Athletic. Mitch, it is college football playoff first round weekend. Let's start with the game most people around here want to talk about. That is number 9, Tennessee, at number 8, Ohio State. As you analyze this game, what is the clearest path to victory for the Volunteers against the Buckeyes?
To score more points than the Buckeyes.
Thank you. Thank you for that hard-hitting analysis.
Are we done? Yeah, sorry.
You got a busy day, Mitch? You're just trying to make this quick?
I do. I got a meeting in 3 minutes. So those are my predictions. Yeah, there are a lot of different ways to look at this game. The thing that's most interesting to me is Ohio State's ability to protect Will Howard. You know, we all know what happened in their offensive line down the stretch. They lost two starters basically in the last 3 or 4 games. And you know, it's really difficult on a week-to-week basis to reshuffle your line and figure things out. And basically, 2 full days of practice. You know, I think it's Tuesday and Wednesday are their real days of practice. But when you've got several weeks now, I think it's kind of a blessing in disguise for Ohio State that they did not play in the Big Ten championship game. They've got an extra week to sort out their offensive line. So I think it'll be better than we saw in the last couple of weeks. But obviously, that's Tennessee's strength, you know, getting to the quarterback. So I think that's going to be – and also, you know, when they do get to him, can they contain him? Well, Howard does have the ability to run the ball. I think on the other way, it's big plays. You know, this Tennessee offense, there have been big plays to be made in the passing game that for the most part they haven't made on a consistent basis, whether it's a drop, whether it's an overthrow. And Ohio State has been good. They're among the Big Ten leaders in basically every category, you know, allowing pass plays of 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards. They did not get beat often in the passing game. Although Denzel Burke, one of their, you know, in theory, one of their better cornerbacks, did not have a great year. A lot of teams picked on him, so I'd be interested to see what happens there. So this is the best game of the weekend, and I think it's the one with so many good, like, storylines as far as matchups, strengths versus weaknesses.
In the crowd, I've seen a lot of stories about a Tennessee fan takeover at Ohio Stadium, as much as a visiting fan base can't take over another stadium. But I'm curious about the atmosphere in all of this. Just from Ohio State specifically, they lost to Michigan. There's pressure on Ryan Day. I've seen plenty of talking heads say it's national championship or bust for Ryan Day, although I believe their AD came out and said he's absolutely coming back as coach. But I'm wondering about the atmosphere for Ohio State specifically, if what you think that could do to the team if things don't go well at the start of the game.
Yeah, it could be toxic, and I've heard several people, I think Kirk Herbstreit even came out and said this, that they might have been better off playing on the road. We've all been in enough stadiums to know with an angry fan base, the three and out, the groans in the crowd. I think stuff like that, you can feel it more in basketball and in college baseball because the venues are smaller. You know, we've all been in basketball arenas with that nervous energy when the home team's losing, whatever. It's not, to me, as palpable in football just because of the nature of the stadium, but there's a lot of negativity up there. You know, you don't know how the psyche of the fans, but there's got to be some Ohio State fans who are probably hoping they lose and Ryan Day gets fired, as crazy as that sounds. So I think from a playing free, nothing to lose, all that stuff, Tennessee, you know, they've got stuff to lose. Obviously, they have high goals, but I think there's a lot of pressure on Ohio State, and they can say all the right things, but they definitely feel it.
Talk with Mitch Light of The Athletic, discussing college football and more poignant, the college football playoffs. Now, Mitch, if the Big Ten, say if Oregon, because I think Oregon to me is the front runner to win a national championship, considered the way they played all season, they've been the most consistent team. If the Big Ten manages to win back-to-back national championships, does it start to change the narrative of who's the most dominant division out there? Because you can't have the excuse for the SEC that it was a down year. It hasn't been a down year for the SEC. It's been more competitive, But I don't believe it's been a down year for the SEC. But if the Big Ten manages to win back-to-back championships, do you believe it starts to change the narrative somewhat?
Yeah, it helps, no doubt. I mean, what happened when the SEC emerged as the dominant conference in the late 2000s? Mm-hmm. It was not just that they were winning national championships. It was different programs winning mm-hmm. national championships. It was Florida, and it was Alabama, and it was LSU. You know, and that's really what made the league really start to emerge. You know, and then if you have Michigan winning and Oregon winning, and Ohio State's been one of the most consistent programs in the last decade, and they're not even among that group. So it just – it's like beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Do you judge a league by its overall depth or its ability to win the title or not ability, it's actually winning the title? I think no, even Big Ten fans would argue the SEC is deeper. You know, the mm-hmm. Big Ten kind of falls off a cliff a little bit. SEC has a lot more depth, but there's no denying that if they win another national title with another team, they are kind of elbowing their way, if they already haven't, closer to the SEC. It's already the big two and everyone else because of all the finances and stuff, but it would be really feather in their cap if another team won a title.
Now, another question I have that I thought about last night in regards to the college football playoffs. We saw what the committee did with Florida State when their quarterback got hurt. It basically eliminated Florida State from the college football playoffs. And maybe it was because when the injury happened, but you look at a guy like Carson Beck, who for all intents and purposes, if he can't play, it diminishes Georgia's ability to, you know, operate the way they normally do, and it lessens their chances of winning. Do you think had that injury happened prior to the SEC championship game, do you think there would have been some talks of how do we seed Georgia, knowing that they may not have their starting quarterback for the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it would have affected their seeding, especially obviously if they didn't win the national and win the SEC championship. You know, we can't even talk about them not making the field. I've heard that argument, which is dumb because obviously they won the SEC championship. The big difference, obviously, is Florida State proved it was not mm-hmm. nearly as good of a team offensively once its quarterback got hurt last year, once Jordan Travis got hurt. Where Georgia, they didn't necessarily look great offensively, but they won a game against a very good Texas defense with Gunnar Stockton at quarterback. So, but your question is more if there were more games and they had struggled. Sure, I think let's say it happened 2 or 3 weeks earlier and they barely beat Georgia Tech and they got blown out or didn't look good against Texas and they lost that SEC championship game. I could have seen them sliding from a potential 5 or 6 to 8 or 9 seed. And I think that would have been fair, and I think that would have been consistent with the message they sent last year, even though each committee is different, each committee has a different makeup, and obviously the goals this year of seeding 12 teams was different than 4 teams last year.
We're talking to Mitch Light from The Athletic, and we're setting up the college football playoff. Mitch, this I'm sure will be a bigger question next week, as it's the week of the game, but presuming that Carson Beck is out, what do we know about Gunnar Stockton and what Georgia will try to do as they start game planning around him?
Yeah, good athlete. He was a 5-star for a lot of the process. I think he ended up being a 4-star, but a top 100 kid who was originally committed to South Carolina. But then when Mike Bobo got fired as the offensive coordinator, or that staff got fired at South Carolina, he decommitted and stayed went with Georgia. So you know, he's been in the system for years. I think heading the SEC championship game, I can't imagine he got a lot of reps in practice the week before. So you would think that they tried to keep things much more simple for him in that game with several weeks to prepare. I think they'll put more on his plate. Again, he's a good athlete. I think depending on who they play, you know, I think they will still lean on the defense, not ask him to make too many throws. He did try to make one big throw, and I think it was the interception in there. So that's always watching in situations like this. When it's 3rd and 8, how much do they trust their quarterback? Yeah. And I think we'll find out early in the game there. But I think they can win with Gunnar Stockton. Obviously, winning 3 straight games will be far more difficult. But it's not like this guy has no talent. He is, you know, was highly regarded coming out of high school.
Yeah, that is going to be a big story. I'm not sure how much they trusted Carson Beck at 3rd and 8 in some of these weeks where he was throwing the ball to the wrong team. Mitch, I looked at the weather forecast for Notre Dame, Penn State, and Ohio State, and it's all in the 20s. And so it's not, it doesn't look like there's going to be a snowstorm or anything crazy like that. But I am curious, like with an SMU or a Tennessee that like to run the high tempo. Now, Tennessee, I realize, has been able to evolve a little bit. They realize that running the ball and playing good defense is a better way to go. But I'm curious about how the wide open spread offenses that we see go to work. You don't have to think about the weather in bowl games, but the weather will be a factor in some of these winter games.
Doppler-Donick, doing a little show prep. I like it. My overall, I'm going to sort of contradict myself here. My overall stance is this weather has been wildly overplayed. First of all, like, nobody likes playing in the cold weather. People act like at Penn State they play in 20 degree weather all season. That's not the case. I mean, it doesn't really get frigidly cold until December, January. So it's not like Penn State's used to playing in really, really cold temperatures. They have an indoor practice facility. They don't practice in the cold a lot. So it's uncomfortable for everyone. And kind of big picture, I think a lot of people in the North don't realize this. It gets very cold in Lexington, Nashville, Fayetteville, Knoxville. These SEC teams do play in cold weather, just maybe not as cold. But I think it will, of all the matchups, I think it could affect SMU the most. You know, Kevin Jennings is a Texas kid, their quarterback. They clearly don't play in much weather, probably worse than 50 degrees, and they do kind of go high tempo and all that. So of all the matchups, I think that's the only one where it could really have an effect is SMU. And I'm interested to see, you know, there's nothing they can really do to prepare for it. They'll just have to adjust and deal with it.
Texas is the biggest favorite. So what would Clemson need to do to be competitive in that game?
I think they need to run the ball a lot. You know, Phil Moff is a good running back, one of the more underrated running backs. And Kate Klubnik's really good. You know, I didn't really look at, I don't know how many rushing yards he had this year, but it seems like a lot of their big plays this year were, you know, maybe fake handoffs and Klubnik going for long runs. He's a good athlete, interesting case there. You know, he's an Austin kid going back home. He played against Quinn Ewers in the state championship game, I think there. So I think if they're going to have to run the ball a lot. And another thing about this game, if it's close, they've had a lot of kicking problems. I know they won the ACC championship game on a 56-yard field goal with the gun, but they had maybe 8 kicks blocked this year. I think it was 8, including 2, maybe 6 field goals and 2 extra points. They had 2 field goals blocked in their home loss to Louisville. So, you know, they've had time to shore that up, I would think, but they also could have shored it up more during the year. So a little thing like that, getting a kick blocked, and because they're going to have to be nearly perfect to win this game. And obviously, you know, botching a kick is not being perfect.
These games are going to be so much fun to watch for sure. Behind the scenes, though, I know you follow this. The madness of the portal, it gets crazier every year. And you've got teams that are getting ready for a bowl game. They don't know who they're going to have. All of this stuff. How do you, this is always the question, but what are you hearing about the idea, the movement of trying to come up with some structure to make it a little less crazy?
Here's the problem. There's no good solution. And, I mean, I know that's a cop-out, but one of the big problems is the academic calendar. I mean, I know some teams are on quarter system and maybe don't start January 10th or anything like that, but you can't stretch it out too long because kids have to enroll. Here's one thing that I don't know if we've written about it yet. I know Sam Kahn, one of our writers, has talked to a lot of coaches. And one thing people have thrown out there is getting rid of spring football, maybe having just a kind of weekend OTAs, and then there's not that pressure to get enrolled right away. And, oh, I missed spring practice. There's no way I can compete for the job. And then maybe just having a portal window in the spring. I don't know if this would ever come to fruition, but that, if you think about it, it makes a lot more sense than people rushing decisions. You finish the semester, you're not missing spring practice. And I kind of joked this about the other day. There's a reason this could work. It's because, you know, schools aren't losing money. I know, I guess they sell concessions at spring games. I get it. But it's not like a huge TV deal. Like, certain things aren't going to change because they're money makers. Eliminating spring practice in a spring game doesn't really cost the school money. So, again, maybe far-fetched, but if you think about it, that one kind of makes sense.
Mitch Light, college football editor of The Athletic, joining us on D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick. Mitch, always a pleasure. Have a Merry Christmas and enjoy the games this weekend.
Remember, guys, the team that scores the most points is probably going to win.
Expert analysis you can only get from Mitch Light right here.
Thank you very much for recognizing that.
Yes.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Mitch. Doppler Donick, I think we have a new nickname for right. you.
Yeah, there we go. You know what?
Got a high of 29 in Columbus.
Willie, that may be difficult as I'm thinking about what you and Mitch were discussing. In theory, I think, you know, taking away that spring game so guys can make that transition is good. But I think it's a part of these networks because now they're televising them.
They are.
They're televising the games. So now is it a part of the package? If it's a part of the package, there's no way you can get rid of it.
615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans quarterback situation coming up next. But it's bowl season, and the Game Nashville Sports Network is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoff presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Today, catch the Art of Sport LA Bowl on 94.9 The Fan, California, and UNLV. They'll kick off at 8 o'clock. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowlgames.